I'll take it.
I mean, even if I didn't talk with a mic, you'd be able to hear me. But still.
No,
you can't?
No,
there's some.
No. At
there's
all?
Some people are harder hearing.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
But I'm very loud.
Hi.
I'm loud regardless. I'll try really
hard. I said, go ahead and just be loud.
Here. But I'm pretty loud. I'll try to be a little distant because I'm just naturally loud. But anyway, thank you guys for inviting me to speak with you today. And I apologize for having to jet out a little early. I am a very big fan of double booking myself accidentally, and I did that today. And I know I'm not a familiar face around here, but I do consider myself a very big advocate for intentional, intersectional social justice, and that requires a little bit more work. And for the justice to be intersectional and intentional for all people, I'm not a very religious person, but I do agree with the spiritual practices of servitude to mankind, and I can only speak for my experiences and hope that they will help and inspire someone else to speak their own stories. So going through discipleship year while being in one of the most forward-thinking places in the United States has opened up my eyes a lot, and I would like to start off with a quick story that will lead into today's teaching called Who Am I Leaving Behind? So on January 21st, 2017, I saw women flood the streets of Washington, D.C. and other cities across the country to participate in the Women's March. As an unapologetic queer Black woman with mental disabilities, I had so much to march for myself. I was excited to see the intersectional framework that had been talked about lived out in practice. And for those who don't really understand the term intersectional or intersectionality, meaning that I have more than one identity that coexist at the same time. That is the only meaning of it. I know now it is being used as a consistent buzzword in order to claim that things are intersectional, but they're not. So by me living as a queer Black woman, all these things exist at the same time. They cannot be separated out in any way, shape, or form. So a little bit of background there. But I was excited to see this framework that the Women's March was based off of lived out in practice. But I went to school in the South, and seeing the sea of white women flood into DC just for the Women's March, I knew right off the bat that I was not welcome there. As a favor to my mental health, I stayed home. I saw stories of my sisters crying due to microaggressions and overt racism from white women protecting their own cliques. So these range from stories of women being pushed off the metro train and being told that by various older women that this march is not for them, even though it was for them, and just feeling out of place in general. These stories came flooding down my Facebook timeline. I saw pictures of white women taking selfies and enjoying the moment while women of color, especially queer women of color, saw another protest where they must yell to be heard. However, this time, there were kind police officers and celebrity attention put towards a protest. In the words of one of my close friends, this is one of the most massive march of whiteness I've ever seen in my entire life. The privilege of being able to talk your truth without fear is ridiculous. I can't even imagine. Meanwhile, we are speaking our own truths and being attacked by the very same people who told us to tell them what's wrong. Women showed up to that march to voice what's wrong, and still, some women were left out. As a testament to my mental health, I stayed home. I tried to refrain my own commentary until I got to see the aftermath. Hearing a lot of comments from fellow colleagues and housemates, I tried to give the benefit of the doubt of like, okay, well maybe, you know, a lot of people participated in this march and they, maybe the work will be done with like afterwards, people start volunteering more, people really start helping out because you realize what needs to be done to come together. Were these women ready to do the work? Unfortunately, they were not, and I expected this. A month later, and it's Black History Month, and I've just launched a mentorship program for Black and Brown youth grades K through 12 in of Jubilee housing, literally right around the corner from here. You would think that people would be eager to help disadvantaged Black and Brown children succeed in an era where Trump is trying to make it even more impossible, but that's not the case. I have a hard time getting people to volunteer on a day-to-day basis, even though they ask the questions, what do we do and how can I help? When this city is literally swarming with opportunities to help out, more so than my own hometown. Never seen it. Never seen so many organizations that need volunteers, that need assistance, that thrive off of community assistance. But yet you still have people ask, what can I do? Where can I help? I've seen people go back to their social circles, literally stunting their personal and spiritual growth. Nothing changed. Same day, different. Like, different day, same stuff. I wish I could say that I was surprised to see this, but I also wish I didn't see this at all. But working in the nonprofit sector and helping out kids to tell them that certain people just don't have time for you or don't really care, but yet we live in a culture where it's a very me-centered thing, is really hard. How can you advocate for equality and justice if you are not being intentional in your actions? In James chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, we see an instance of favoritism being shown to the man in a suit, while it's so easy to put the homeless person in the back of the pews. It's a framework on how our society works. We feel safer in a neighborhood where there's not boarded up houses. We feel a sense of calm when women are nearby because we believe women are safe. The list goes on and on. We feel calm in white neighborhoods and feel a sense of uneasiness when there's a group of people of color because it's a culture that is not the dominant one. However, do we really take the time on who we avoid and leave behind when you do these things? I'm from Chicago, very loud and proud. I will tell you that from day one. And people look past, people always talk about the subject of gun violence when they bring up Chicago, but they will talk about it with everybody but me. And I find this really interesting to play out as a person who's from Chicago, born and raised, who grew up on the west side of Chicago, where there are a lot of boarded up houses and lack of jobs. People look past the economics of the situation, the dirty politics, the lack of jobs, bus stops, housing, and resources when it comes to these neighborhoods, but then go straight to the fact that people need to help themselves. Okay, and if you listen to people who are from the neighborhoods, you'd see, I'd tell you straight up, that there's a protest happening almost every day. People in these communities know each other by name. They know these kids. They feel the pain for the children and the families that are losing people. There is a sense of community in these places, but nobody really listens to that. They listen to what the media tells you. Why do they continue to place people who know nothing about Chicago, probably just work there, on CNN to give a view on how to fix gun violence in the city? You are leaving behind the people who need justice, but still trying to give them justice. You cannot leave behind the people that need justice in the pursuit of their own justice. Doesn't make any sense. That's like if I'm trying to get health care and you're trying to help me go, you know, get, I don't know, I'm bleeding or something, and you're trying to help me go to the hospital. You can't tell them what's wrong for me. I have to tell them myself. As members of the body of Christ, we often stick to our own section of the body. If I'm on this side, I'm the ear, I choose to stay over here and do my job because it's just easier that way. But if there's an infection in my other ear, or another part of my body, I would never know because I confined myself to that one part of the body. I've never really talked to the other side, I've never really ventured out. Even I just stay and I do my own talent and I do my own thing. I've stunted my spiritual and my personal growth by staying on that one side of the body. However, there's an infection going on another side, and it's preventing the way the body works. We can't all go forth and do the work of Christ if some of our people are hurting, if the body is hurting. But you will not know that the body is hurting if you stay on your side. What if I am an important part of the body that will help cure the other part's infection? What if my purpose in this body of Christ is to serve as a blood cell to repair this infection? You will never know if you're staying and doing your one job. You could be the blessing that somebody needs, or more importantly, they can be a blessing to you. But you will never know if you don't expand your horizons. I encourage you all to talk to people from different social circles and really understand and grow your viewpoints, as we are all members of this body of Christ. There are no favorites. You want to be a true intersectional feminist? Talk to intersectional women who have no choice but to fight that struggle every single day. You can't claim to be intersectional and none of your friends are intersectional women. Do you really truly know what you're fighting for or who you're fighting for? Get to know someone who's completely different from you, because it may either change or affirm the belief system that you already have. In scripture terms, get to know the body of Christ. We were never meant to be the same. We don't talk the same, we pray differently, we care about different things. We're supposed to. Our gifts are different. What we're made to do is different. But that doesn't make you any less important in this part of the body. We were always meant to be equal. Just because we're different does not mean that we're not equal. The body of Christ will not function without either of us, because we each play an important role, different, but it's still important. We cannot make someone act like we think God intended for them to be. We cannot cast a person off just because they do not fit into our societal norms. We have to continue expanding our minds, diversifying our friend groups, and doing more everyday actions that lead to an inclusive form of justice. This is the only way that we can ensure that no part of this one body gets left behind and the body is fully functional. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.